Turner at Lunch with Rick this Saturday, the 14th of October, 72. Channel 1 over, and beginning a visit with John Turner with Rick at Lunch this 14th of October, 72.
A little cooler in here, I believe.
Have a seat here. Got some chicken stew for you that
yes,
you can chew.
Yes, ma'am.
Ground out there is...
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ground out there is drier than
it sure is. You know that's some hard ground? That's some hard dirt out there.
How long you reckon it's been since it's...
I don't know, but it ain't been broken some time. Don't look like it do it.
What do you mean sometime?
About 5 or 6 years.
Well, I've been here since 61.
It ain't been broke since then? Good one day it's packed. It have a right to pack, don't it?
Yeah.
You know what you...
And your coffee, you...
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Sugar, John.
Sure.
Pop that plow out
of
ground.
Every now and again, it'll kick that plow clean up. It's going to let it stay. It'll pick it right up out the ground.
Yeah, well, now that's what you're up against.
Yes, sir.
Slows you down.
Yes, you're right. You had to back up and catch it again. If you don't, you leave a bad spot.
Good thing there's two out here.
You're right. Now, I made 3 or 4 rounds. He makes 3 or 4, and then you just keep it going. Do pretty good.
Yeah.
But that thing, like you say, you have to just hold that. There's something wrong with that, ain't it?
Something wrong with it.
You really?
You know what I done? I paid them $370. And that's what I get.
My. Goodness, that's a heap of money.
That's a heap of money.
There's a colored filler down there where I was working, picking peanuts. Rattlesnake from the top of that door reached down to the floor. And he was coiled up as a rattling. We went to kill him. We were going to kill the snake. Don't kill that snake. A little dark skin colored. Don't you hit him. Don't hit that snake. And we wouldn't hit him. So he come up there and he took his foot. He done like this here. And reached right down there and picked him up.
And sold him.
Now, I don't know where. He put him in a bean crate. And then put a peanut vine over down in the crate. Set his lunch in there and a bottle of wine. Told the snake, if you drink my wine, you better put some more in there before I come back. And the rattlesnake was rattling all day in that crate. And he didn't pick peanuts. I said, man, not me. They said, if you bite him, he ain't done nothing. Said, he put none bit him. I don't know what kind of man that is.
I wonder.
He come from across the water.
Oh.
He walked right up there and take his foot and pull it up there and reach right down and just pick him up.
Right here in the... In the regular season. Now, in the wintertime, it'd be a different thing.
That's right. Snake was a rattling, and he walked right up there and picked him right up.
Put his foot on him.
No, he didn't put his foot on him. Just helped his foot up there and licked the snake. Look at his foot. And then he reached right down by his foot and picked him up. Hold him right back of that neck, right back.
Well, that's the way he done it.
Mm-hmm. Not me. You know how much a 6 foot of them worth, don't you? Was $350, the raw selling.
Oh, really?
A 6 foot one.
And that's a 6 foot one.
He ought to be reached from the top of that door down to the floor. That's about 6 inches.
Well, that door as high as I am, I'm 6 foot.
Well, he's about that 6 foot too, because he's reached from that floor up to that door, you know, because he held him up like that and he's still on the ground.
Held him as high as he could hold him.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and still rattling.
Yeah, still wriggling his tail and trying to wrap around him, but he cut him down a little lower and pull him back down. God by me.
Well, he could have give you a lesson.
I ain't gonna catch him. He give all the lesson he want, I ain't put my hand on there. My wife like to went out when she seen that out in that field.
Oh, she seen it too?
Oh, man, she run, got in the car, and she couldn't get out the car no more. She got home, she said, look like I seen him now.
She seen him all night, I guess.
Yeah. You talking about him last night, and that was ever since Thursday.
That's right. Oh,
You don't want to see no rattlesnake.
And that was just over there by you?
Over to, you know where Cozy Corner, no store?
Yeah.
You turn off that graded road and go up here near that peanut patch on the right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out there in the peanut patch.
Yeah. We went through some little bushes, you know, little patch around a tree. As soon as we picked by that, he eased out and was going to a lady picket, sitting down picking apart. She said, what a rattlesnake.
Headed everybody, right towards her.
Headed right towards her, going out and eating there, you done picked the peanuts.
I didn't know you'd catch him out there, find him out there in a peanut patch.
Yes, sir, they ain't that place.
Well, what draws him to that, John?
I reckon he could punt his man at home.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, a whole lot of pile of car tires was up in that next place. I reckon that's where he was trying to make it, the old car tire.
Oh, I see. Just going across there?
Yeah. He was trying to make it to that place for his rental home.
Well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember one time we were doing some spring plowing, and we got on to one of those fellas that he was out, but he was still sluggish.
Yeah, sir.
And they run over him with this big tractor.
Oh,
and
my.
You know his rib case looked like it was that big.
You were right.
Looked like an animal or something.
One lady told him to kill that snake and lay her skin, and she wanted the best meat you ever eat. I told her I don't want none. Yeah, I said to eat it. Yeah, that's the highest dish you could buy.
Yeah. She eat that?
She said to eat it, says good, but I don't want none. Not right if I know it.
Well, who was it? Who was it, John?
She lived the stalk.
I mean, who was it? Caught him.
Joe. Rattlesnake Joe, they called him. That's what they called him. He's still with it, Riddick.
Oh, Riddick?
Yeah, Rattlesnake Joe, they called him. Yeah, he's still with the Riddick.
Well, he'd done that before then.
They've been doing it all the day, yeah. And one bite him, so he just take his knife and jigger right around and suck it out and spit it on the ground, going about his business.
Well, those things will kill you.
Yeah, well, he didn't kill him. Really, I ain't joking. If you find one knife and keep him followed up till he gets you, he'll show you what to do. You go right there and pick him up.
Yeah, it won't make no big bones about it.
That's right. If you bite him, he ain't done nothing. I sure don't want nothing biting me. I don't want any little black snake to bite me.
They don't bite, do they?
And scratch you. Scratch by like a bra.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm.
They will bite at you.
Well, you don't do them but scratch like a bra, though.
All of them I ever seen go so fast.
In certain time of the year, though, he'll make you go.
Oh, really? A black snake?
That's right.
Oh, I see.
That's in the spring of the year. You make you go.
I see.
Yes, sir.
He lets you do the running.
That's right.
Well, that's funny. You know, I never did run into one of them that seemed to want to fight me.
You never seen him shake his tail?
No.
He shake his tail, go just like a rattlesnake now. In the leaves and things.
Oh, yeah.
A black snake will.
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
I caught a coach whip one day. A long coach whip.
Yeah.
That thing wrapped around me and I couldn't hardly get him loose from around me. You know, just wrapped around me.
All around
you? I couldn't hardly get him loose. I had to hold his head and let the other fellas came round and round to get him from the wrap around me. And you know he's strong? He's a strong one.
Now they rattle.
You sure?
They'll cut up. They'll make you think you're going to get it.
You ain't joking.
But they don't even scratch you, I don't reckon.
I don't see you doing nothing but... They say he'll whip you, but I don't reckon he'll whip you. I ain't never seen them whip nobody, you.
No, I never seen it. I just heard them talk like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a few out here in the stump.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got so many of these rodents, like possums and armadillos and raccoons and all. I think they run them off.
You're right.
Eat them or something.
You know, that's why what happened. Got any king snakes out here?
No.
Yeah, run all the rattlesnakes off you, please.
Will they?
No, king snake, yeah. They'll put you in jail if you kill one of them and they know it.
I'd pay you to have one, two of them around with it.
You sure will. A black snake, good. You don't do nothing.
Did they?
If he gets here, a rattlesnake, he'll, while the rattlesnake up there, he'll run right across and make him bite himself, see? That's what a black snake will do. I've seen him do it.
Make a rattlesnake bite himself?
Bite his own self, never kill him. See, he poisoned himself.
You seen that done?
I've seen it done. And the people told me a rabbit won't fight for his little one. You ever heard that? You ever heard that?
No.
Don't let nobody tell you a rabbit won't fight for his little one. I seen a coach whip had a little rabbit one day out in my Oklahoma City. And I heard him, and I went up there, the big rabbit just running right across the coach whip. Run right back across him. And I turned the little rabbit loose and then they went running. And that snake right behind him, his head, old coach whip. She sure fight for her little one. She sure will.
No, sir, I never heard of that.
Not the first time I've seen that. I've seen that out of my own eyes.
You actually seen it?
Out of my own eyes, right in my okra field. I told my wife, I said, they tell me a rabbit won't fight for a lumen, but he sure will.
Well, sir, I learned something, John. That's, I didn't know that.
He sure will.
I sure didn't. I didn't think a rabbit would fight about anything.
He sure will.
All I ever seen him do is just light out.
That sure wouldn't lighten out. I got out there on your tractor this morning. I went flying some old oak bushes, you know. And I said, I planted some greens in here under the shade. That was in the summertime. So I had a little farm old tractor. And I run up to a rattlesnake and I clay stood up about near about half tall as I am. Look like he's going to get up on the tractor with me. Oh, I was afraid to get off the tractor.
I would too.
So I took a wrench and chunked it and hit him right side the head and down his head. Man. I got him, got there, sticked in, and I waked him.
You mean you hit him the first thing?
Yes, sir. I didn't miss that in that time. Came home, my wife said, came right back in that woods where you got him. Don't bring him up here.
Dead or alive. She don't want much to do with him either.
No, sir.
Like to eat that.
No.
Well, that's somebody else going to eat it?
Lady to Starks. Starks, Florida.
What do you do out to Starks so much, sir? You just know people out there?
The people come down, they come down to pick peanuts out there. I'm talking about the Riddicks. Right off in Cool the Corner. Come all the way from Starks every morning, go back every evening. Ride a van.
Is this peanut picking time right now?
Yes, ma'am. They're picking every day, but they didn't pick yesterday. Well, it was off yesterday to rest.
What was the matter yesterday?
The market about crowded out, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to pick no more not till Monday.
Yeah.
Pay $2 a crate to pick them. I go out there and my children in the evening sometimes, but I don't hardly like to pick them.
Take you a long time to pick a crate?
No. I'll pick a crate about time, let me see now, about how long I time myself, about 25 minutes.
Whole crate?
Mm-hmm, a whole crate of peanuts. Like these on them bushes, you can just catch them by the handful like that and throw them in your crate. So you shake the bush and they hang down. I'm just catching by the hands when it's on the tree.
Do you just
take
them right off that bush?
I got a faster way than that, though. Get them and when you pull them up, shake the sand out of them, hit them inside your crate, and get the sand out of it. Hit it right on the edge of that crate, and every one of them will go right in that crate. You ain't never seen that, have you?
No.
I'll pick some.
Well, now, you can't go along and just pull them out of the ground.
That's what you got to do. You have to pull them out of the ground and go right down your road with the creek. Then you pull it.
I heard you turn a little row in there.
No. No, don't. You got to pull them up. You got to pull them yourself. Got a man hired to wash and give him 25 cents a bushel.
Wash him?
Yeah, to wash him.
What do you wish? They got right smart in them peanuts. Time they get them out then, aren't they?
Well, they sure will. Best time to have peanuts do is the early part of the spring. Get you $12 a crate. $12 a bushel. But long in that time, you had a pit of people run. 2.5 to pick them.
And that fellow to wash them too?
Mm-hmm. You'll have about $8 in the clear. No, he won't be in the clear, but you'll have $8 after they get through with you. Then you take out for your tractor, your labor. You take out that, you're getting about $5 a crate. It ain't enough. So I say it would be better to raise allotment peanuts.
That's what most of them do, ain't it?
That's a little thing.
That's
no coffee? No, thing. I got a plenty, thank you. Get me some water and I'll be ready to wake again. I'm going to have to wake till about 3 o'clock.
All
right. And then I might have to go and pick up some groceries.
Oh, yeah.
You know the day is grocery day.
Well... Mm-hmm. Where do you pick up the groceries?
Ocala.
All the way to Ocala?
Yes, yeah, sir. Go to... they buy Gibson store there. Oh.
Yeah.
What is that? What's the name of that? Cash and Carry? Yes, that's Cash and Carry.
Yeah, I forgot it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. My wife go there and pick up. She, I let her get all the groceries and I sit down and rest then.
Well,
I'll be done with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what have you got to eat over there now? Do you have to buy everything?
Practically everything, no. See, my wife, I say, I'll leave the house this morning. I intend to bring you all some tea.
Oh, John.
Really? Some black-eyed peas. I got up and leave them this morning. I reckon they'll give them to somebody else to do something. No, I don't leave them to the house. I had them specially bring you some, a few. I sure did.
Well, I appreciate that.
But
they won't keep.
No, you won't have to keep them.
They won't keep over there.
I better get her. My daughter going back to pick, I reckon, her day next week again, so.
Yeah.
I picked cucumbers right over there on Wednesday. Right back of that parade going to make it open.
Yeah.
Who them cubes belong to? You go down this graded road and go for that, run around that lake.
Yeah.
I picked 31 buckets.
Yeah.
You get around, John.
Then I wake Thursday and Friday to stalks. Up in the other stalks between Hawthorne and Valletta.
Yeah.
Back in there, Johnson Station. You know where Johnson Station?
Yeah.
You go in a little place and go up in between two ponds. There's a grove back in there. I diss that grove two ways. It's a 10-acre grove.
Yeah.
In a day and a piece. Didn't take 2 days. Then I drug limbs out to benefit the day.
Well, but that grove tractor works pretty good.
That's
that grove
hair. It's a heavy one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a heavy one. And that tractor, you got a little heavier tractor than yours.
Yeah, this is a light tractor.
Yeah.
They don't have them this light anymore.
But you know what you got on it? It's power steering, got a power seat and everything. That seat that you can't tell you when you hit a bump. It's a massive Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And I sure think that I'm got my belly full. I'm ready to go back to work. You know.
Well, let me tell you, John. Now, what are we going to do next?
Ain't you got that? You got a tattletale?
Yeah.
That could have either run up on there after you get to it like that, won't it? That cutter be out there.
Yes.
Well, that's what you got to try to trim it down, you know, them big lumps?
Sure.
And then you throw your oats, and then you rye, whatever you're going to throw, and then you can get a plant and do that, one of them things and do that. You got one?
Yeah.
Cedar. And all you got to do is just drive along with it then, and your stuff ready. If you got a plant, one of them cedars.
Well, after you put your seed out, you still got to cut them in a little, ain't you?
Let me see now. You could, you can put that seed out, and you couldn't put it out before you label that though, so. Then you put your seed out, and then you run your cutter over it lightly and cut it in. That's what you have to
do. That'd be the best.
Yes. Cause if you put it there now, all your seed would go down on that big turf.
That's right.
And then you wouldn't get much of a good out of them.
Yeah.
And if you got the label, get that down the way it'll be broke down level there.
Yeah.
From all them lumps and turf. Yeah. I told him just now to go get the Ford and get behind me and go to tearing them turfers up.
That's right. Yeah. The Ford will do that.
You're right.
Yes, sir.
Just order to do it. I told him, when we get over, he'll be through. That's what I told him just now. Well, he go ahead on and break it. I'll lay him. It doesn't make no difference.
Yeah.
And get that, you get it done like that, you got it made, then you can go ahead on and run your cedar.
Yeah.
And then dish it over lightly again, and you got it.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
That's right. Now these, you see, when they do that, custom people,
mm-hmm.
when they do that with that big hair,
yeah.
you see, it's right ready to plant.
That's right.
Right behind them.
That's right. That's right.
So they can do it all at one.
That's
one,
right.
One,
but
one
there'll be that plow rolling them big turbos up now. You got to try to shake them loose with something.
Yeah.
No, it'll cover up your seed, and you won't see that seed. It'll be 2 foot on them.
Be too far
down
there.
Go up under that big turf, it'll never come out from under all that.
Sure wouldn't.
Need some rain, too. We'll get it, I reckon. Get a rain and a freeze. My boy said freezing the way he is. See, ice and snow.
Yeah.
He up there, two of them in New York, picking apples.
Yeah. You like rye or oats? For cows.
I tell you what I like. I really like oats. I really like oats. Rye, all right, but I really like oats.
Cows like them.
Yeah, so if you get that oats to going pretty good, and then don't care how cold it gets put in prettier. But that rye the same way. But there's something they used to plant that coal on. Oh, what's the name of that? There's one kind of it that ain't no good for cows, and one kind of it good. Mr. Brown Ray used to plant it. Oh, I forgot the name of it. Mm-hmm. It ain't rye, and it ain't... It's something else. Oh, my, I can't think of it now. But it grows sort of a bush like, looks like an ice potato there. Looks sort of like an ice potato. You know green ice potato?
Yes, sir.
Well, it grows a bush about like that.
I told, you know this prescription man down here at the drugstore?
I seen him a time or two. I used to pick up medicine for my mother there.
I told him what you told me about Mr. Garrigan.
Yes.
And that boy got his pistol.
He sure right. I seen that old boy the other day with got Mr. Garrigan's pistol. Well, he went back home, didn't he?
Yeah. That just surprised me.
He showed me too, because he had done made his stuff, yeah.
He had all made, didn't he?
He sure did. Had a nice home back on there too.
Yeah. Well, now, when did he begin picking up a little money? Because when he come here, all he had was that old Model A Ford.
That's all. I tell you where he started picking up. Fort McCoy to that Tim time still.
Yeah.
He run to that commissary with him.
Yeah.
He had a chance to get him a whole lot of money out of them fellas, you know, charge him a little more than the stuff was, and they wait on until Peter and he take all that money out and he get his part of it, and the other man get his for the commissary.
Yeah.
And after a while he bought him a little grove. I used to pick on this one.
Oh, and he had a grove when he was back over there.
Yeah, he had a grove. He'd buy all them old oranges and he'd pay me $0.35 a box to pick them.
Yeah.
And he'd haul them to the juice plant. That's what he'd do. That's where he made money, long in there. Those oranges was worth a heap, long in there.
Yeah.
So he bought another little grove up there, right off from Silver Spring Fruit Company Packing House back west from there.
Yeah.
And that whole grove died out. I don't know how in the world. The freeze killed it. They
yeah.
They're picking from 2,000 to 3,000 bucks on it off every year. That cold, come one cold winter and kill all them trees. I ain't seen that anywhere, nowhere. Not living.
There's nothing to do for them.
No.
They just kill them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, after he moved over here, he had these groves. And I used to see him coming in, him and his wife, and that trouble over dogs.
Yeah, he said, them was his children. That's all he tickled me. Said, they're mine bitten children, them dogs. And he'd go up in that grove, and you know she'd do more work than he do? Climb up a ladder just like it wasn't he do, and cut them limbs, and she's awake, if he was awake, my goodness.
You see them do it.
Yeah, so I'll wake right there in the grove with him, and they'll wake me to death. Drag limbs to the fire pile and throw them on, she did, and everything. Man, she didn't mind work.
Oh, you had a place to burn
them? Yeah, I had a big opening in the grove, and over here trees had died out.
Yeah.
Make a big pile and burn it. Didn't put too much on it at the time, you know. Burn them up right there.
That's right. You wouldn't want too much at one time.
That's right.
Yeah, I told Wilson, isn't that his name? Fred.
Yes, I know that. Yes.
I told him about that, and he used to talk to her, Mr. Garrett.
Yes.
That's after he moved over here.
Sure, right.
And he thought that was one of the funniest things he ever heard.
Sure, right.
How
is the hoof with him? Is he getting any better?
I don't keep up with him. I don't have any connection, contact. How is he? Hi. How'd you hear?
He had an operation on his foot.
Yeah.
They had to touch a cancer.
Yeah.
And he had an operation on his foot. I don't know how he got old, how he got long. The lady was telling me to smack into his body. I didn't even know he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'd miss him, wouldn't they, if he got out of commission?
You ain't joking. That man put out some money in the fruit season. He sure do in the summer, too. But in the fruit season, it's some money. He put out some money then for picking them oranges and things.
Well, he got the chief payroll.
Yes, sir.
Down there.
Sure right. Sure have, man.
More people would... They'd feel it if he was to get out of commission.
You ain't joking. Ain't no joke. You ain't the same zone either.
Now, they quit that vegetables.
They sure did. They don't run that place no more at all. That used to be a business place down there, too.
Yeah. Mr. Oh, he's calling name wrong. Our friend over there, Fitcher.
The Wembley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he ever work for Mr. Huff?
That's where he worked. In the oranges. Mm-hmm. He packed oranges. When the time for them to pack them oranges, when they're shipping oranges off, you know, fresh fruit, he packs oranges then. He sure do. Then it goes from there to Mr. Dead Lewis in the plant season to pull plants. And he would make them pack them plants. Have the people to pack them right and he stamp them and mark down how much, see how many it is, no. That's Mr. D.A. Lewis.
Yeah. Now, he down there out of my neighborhood. I don't know him.
Who, Mr. D.A.? He right there to lower.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, I never even run into him.
He's out of here.
Now, do you ever work with him?
Yes. I work with Mr. Rao, too. You know him?
No.
Jim Rao.
Yeah.
He used to plant nothing but peanuts. That's what that's the first man had us picking peanuts for him there. After the little man was named Edward DeVoe. Remember him?
Yeah.
He planted peanuts side the old 301 highway. And he picked 200 bushels to the acre. Them old Belanger peanuts.
Yeah.
He made some money that year. As I said, everybody said, I never seen no peanuts like that. But you know what he done? He broke that land twice. He met back then, he lived it off, and he planted it. Then he drug that land, drug all that, and you couldn't tell a rose in there nowhere. And when it come up in rose. And then he went in back in there with some kind of, with that tractor with all them fertilizers, and I believe he put fertilizer in them peanuts.
Yeah.
Then after a while, he went back and put something that looked like lime. That's what he done to them peanuts, and he made peanuts. About 200 bushels to the acre, what he gives out of it.
Yeah. That's way ahead of what you generally get.
Yeah, sir, you do good if you pick 100 bushels to the acre. He doubled it up. Yes, sir. And the land what he planted them on, you know what I could have bought the land for? About back here on the years ago, I could have bought the land for 35 cents an acre.
But you didn't have 35 cents.
Ain't had nothing. Couldn't buy a bread.
35 cents an acre.
That's all they wanted for that land. He never raised all them peanuts. 35 cents an acre.
But he didn't have 35 land cents,
wouldn't,
eh?
Land wasn't nothing then. You get land, they'll give it to you. You won't get nothing now.
No.
Just a little lot cost you a whole lot of money now.
Oh, it's going out of reach.
Out of reach.
You know, all these horse farms hadn't helped things.
You ain't joking. You'll put it on now.
How you figure they got so many horse farms down there? Right?
What good they is? What they do with them? Race with them or something?
I never see them do anything, I guess.
I just see horses out in the pasture.
Yeah.
I never see nobody hardly ride one of them.
No.
I don't know what they do with them.
And I don't see many in the pasture.
You sure don't no more.
So, they don't... They got to keep the pasture down by mowing it.
It sure is.
Why don't they put some cows in there?
This is horse bring more money and all kind of thing. I don't know what.
Well, I know, but a cow is grazing for them.
That's right. What that horse was named that got killed by the lightning?
I forget. What was it?
That was a horse, dude. That horse had brought $1,000,000, ain't it?
Yeah.
I forget that horse name, but that was a horse.
And your pigs.
Every one of them died but two.
Oh, John.
Tell me.
I don't know what happened to them. Every one of them died but two. But a white fella come the other day and told me, he said, if they ever raise any more pigs, like get more pigs like that. When they get about 4 weeks old, 3 weeks to 4 weeks old, take them from their mother and put them in a little pen and warm them and then feed them. And don't let them go with the stuff to my mama. He told me that.
Oh, really?
So that taught me a lesson right there, too.
Yeah. You know, I saw a fella. He was trying to get in the cattle business, and he went around all these dairies and places and picked up baby calves.
Yeah, that's right.
And he didn't do a thing to them. And they got blackleg, and you know that's catching.
Yeah.
And about three-fourths of them was gone before he had even gone to the vet to see what was wrong with them and get something to shoot.
That's right.
And see, now, wouldn't anybody take a calf off a cow without giving them that blackleg?
Sure, right. Yes, yeah, sir.
He just wouldn't do it.
There's a colored boy over there home, used to go get him, and he had one here not so long ago and went and gave him away. A little black English bull.
Yeah.
He went there and they let him have all them little bulls, you know. And he took that bull and sold him. I think he got $35 when he paid about $6 for him to the dairy. I mean, he wasn't but about 3 days old.
Paid how much?
$5.
Well, I didn't know they let him go for that anymore.
They sure let him have him for that. Of course, he was working for the man. I think that's why they let him have him like that.
I tell you what, I bought some from the dairy one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest show you ever saw. That was the biggest mistake.
Yeah.
I didn't get them from me. I got them for the fellow I was living with.
Oh, yeah.
And I was coming into town, so I picked them up.
Phew.
And they kept those calves a couple of months and just babied them and everything, and they just simply looked like they couldn't get to growing.
Yeah, I understand you.
And well, you know what happened.
Yeah. Going back and see it coming up.
they you see when the calf was dropped, you see,
yes,
they never let him to the calf to the cow.
That's right. You're right, buddy.
So he didn't have any of that
stuff
they need.
That's
see.
Right.
And now I understand it's against the law.
Yeah.
I think when unless they want to kill a calf, if
mm-hmm.
they're gonna move the calf, they got to let him be with a cow a day or two.
Yeah.
Now that's my understanding. You haven't heard him talking about that?
Not yet. I hadn't heard it yet. But I reckon I'd have got it directly.
Well, what's your friend doing over there at Citra?
Mr. Wimley. He got his okra patch up here on his lake. He done planted him a garden up there. Guess you're going to go down that big hill?
Yeah.
You turn off right to the corner of that fence over on the right, just before you get to the bottom of that hill, good.
Yeah.
And go back in there. He got a garden back in there. He got 1 acre of okra. He picked 7 or 8 crates off it.
Yeah.
And he got about 2 acres of greens planted back there, cabbage and all.
Yeah.
And he got some peas like that there, and that's as pretty as blooms. If he get a chance and he pick them, he'll get some peas out of them.
Yeah.
He got, acre peas, black-eyed peas, and another kind. They call it cream something, cream 40.
Well, let me tell you, has he got a little irrigation?
No.
Well, these people over here I was telling you about, they got him a little irrigation the other day.
Yeah.
And they paid $155 for it.
Yeah.
That's the motor and the sprinkler.
Really good.
And they say they're going to have a garden 12 months a year.
Yeah, sir.
I've been around there when they had stuff planted and it'd dry up on them,
peas. That's right.
Peas got to have something.
But you know what he's doing, Mr. Wimley? He's just stay damp out there where he farm. And he don't never water. He don't worry about the rain or the water. And he raises the crop. Yes, sir. He sure do. Bought them old tractors. One of them old tractors didn't have all that stuff behind it, the lift up plow and thing. He made that and put on that tractor, and it was way better than one with come from the factory.
He made it.
And he made all that stuff to go behind that.
You mean he can do things like
that? Oh man. He made one of them walking tractors? He made one of them and plowed his stuff for years with that. Made a walking tractor.
Gee,
he sure did. He's tough.
You ought to get in with him.
Yes, sir. He'll sit down and study a way to make it.
Well, I didn't have an idea that he'd be able to do that.
He sure is. He know how to do it. Ain't no joke. And he put a little motor up on there, a little one spark plug motor. And that's what pulled it.
Yeah. Oh, is that all?
That's all.
Well, now there you are. It didn't cost him anything.
No. Just got him a little... Yeah, ain't nothing but a lawnmower motor. A lawnmower motor.
Yeah.
Set it up on there and fix a little frame wheel, set up here and got him a chain running to the wheel and to that. And got a little thing, he pull it and make that wheel fit tight around that pulley.
Yeah.
And on he go. And he can run as slow as it want or fast as it want. That's how you guys who got it.
Where's that big old vegetable shed? That's at Island Grove.
Mm-mm. Oh, you talking about the celery shed?
Yeah.
Yeah, the celery shed, it's at Island Grove.
They don't use that.
No, they use that other old packing house. It used to be Max's Fruit Company packing house.
Yeah.
They use that. No.
So that old celery shed just going to waste.
Just there, that's right.
Man alive, that would hold a lot of stuff, wouldn't it?
It sure would. No joke.
How come them to dismantle it so bad?
That's what I don't know. I don't know why they did do that. That was a good place where it was there, instead of going to that old packing house.
Yeah.
The man bought that old packing house and he couldn't get nobody to never take it down and haul it away from there. Mr. McLeod.
Yeah.
He bought that. They tore down about a third of it, or two thirds, and hauled that over there and add rooms onto his packing house. And the other was left open there, and just a little office up under there. You looked at it, I guess.
Oh, is that what happened?
Mm-hmm. He bought it, but he didn't never get nobody to finish tearing it down. So.
Yeah.
Some people moved over there. They must have bought it for him.
Yeah. Well, now, where did he live, John? He didn't live over there.
Mr. McLeod? He lived in Ocala.
Yeah, he lived in Ocala.
You know Mr. Johnny McGee?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
That's his boss, man. His riding boss around.
Yeah. Old, who were we talking about the other day? Old Man Crosby?
Yeah, Old Man Crosby. He used to make up them little speeches for me. That man was a mess. He loved to make up them speeches.
Speeches?
And get up.
I was riding along. You know, I'd go along with him to open the gates. Had a horse and buggy then. The horse and buggy was stalled then. I'd be riding along on the back of the buggy to jump off to open the gate for him, you know. He said, why are you getting to the gate? I'm going to say a little speech for you. Jose Tunner is a biscuit bunner. That's my name, you know. Jose Tunner is a biscuit bunner. Then another, had another boy down there working with named Daddy Shaw. Got near by him. He said, Daddy Shaw got corn in his craw. He's a mess, yeah.
He's making up?
Yeah, he's making up them little speeches all along the road.
Well, let me show you. I got a little speech right here I'd like for you to hear.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah.
And the York Stock Exchange, the Dow Jones, and Charles Corral. I'll tell you, I like molasses, good old country sorghum, and thereby hangs a tune. At Gold Rush Junction in the Smokies, Jim Ball sings a song of sorghum for the tourists. It is the anthem of the season. For all through these mountains, they're cutting the sorghum cane for a sweet purpose. Down on Webb's Creek in Pittman Center, Tennessee, we found Bud Allen's mule pacing round and round the ancient cane mill, Joseph Ramsey feeding the grinder, and the sweet juice of autumn rapidly filling a wash tub.
I like this, good old country song, night of every morning and night. And they get between my toes, up on my nose, like the way I like to get along.
And there, standing in the steam of the evaporator, there with half the community, including his own wife, offering advice, there we met the master sorghum maker of this hollow, Juan Owenby.
Yeah, they've got sulfur and iron, eh? They're good for you if you can eat them without them bothering your stomach.
Well, now, you just don't eat them plain.
No, I wouldn't recommend that at all.
How do you do it?
Well, the best way to do it is to get you some good white puffy butter.
Good cow butter.
White puffy cow butter. I mix your molasses with the butter and stir it all up good in your plate. And you've got a really
good... Eat them hot biscuits.
And eat them with hot biscuits. You see those fine blubbers in there now?
Yeah.
As long as those fine blubbers are in there, there's still water. It's too much water in them. They're good keep.
So you got to get rid of those bubbles.
You've got to get rid of those bubbles.
And this is the finished product.
That's the finished product.
Well, that's thick.
Mr. Wayne, kill the fire to get these off.
And so the thing is done. Molasses is a plural noun, as you may have noticed, and everybody who loves them sorghums observes now as they are strained into a can to cool, and the next batch is started through the steam.
Now that's my country up there.
Yeah, my granddaddy used to read that sorghum cane, and we had to... strip it down and cage the meal and grind it.
Sorghum?
My granddaddy used to raise that, yeah.
Sorghum?
Sorghum, that way he'd get his first syrup in the year.
Where?
Then he had Japanese cane he'd grind next. Then sugar cane.
Sorghum?
Yes, sir.
Where was that?
Over the sister. My granddaddy used to raise it. And used to raise rice, too. Right over there to sit, my granddaddy used to raise it.
Well, I never heard of sorghum down here.
Yes, sir, my granddaddy used to raise it. And grind it to them to his cane mill. He had old cane mills. He sure did. Yes, sir. Oh. That was long before who was dying.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Before who was dying. Way before then. My granddaddy used to raise that sorghum, planting the rows, just like he do corn.
Yeah.
He'd have a time stripping and cutting that stuff, canning it to the, hauling it to the mill, and grinding. That's the first syrup he'd make out of that sorghum. Then from that to the Japanese, and from that to a little sugar cane he had. Had all kind of syrup.
Yeah.
Then he'd take it and make that brown sugar. You seen the brown sugar, ain't you?
Yeah.
He'd make that to me.
That's hard to beat.
Still right. He was right. He had it.
They can use that.
And then had a smokehouse out there. We'd get old dead hickory wood, make a little smoke in that smokehouse. Had the hams hanging up in there. You could smell them all over the place. Hams, sausages, and all of that. Man, this, a smokehouse big as this room here, this pack just hanging all around in there. I mean, it would kick some old pyramidal looking things and put through the legs of it, you know, jump it through there and tie it up. We had used to live on me then. Yes, sir.
He lived better than we do, didn't he?
He sure did. He had a plenty. He'd catch a mudfish and he'd take and cut that knife right down his side and cut all that black skin off the side of him and leave it white and pretty.
Yeah.
Then he'd cut him open and put salt in and lay it up on top of the. He had a house. He'd lay it up on top and let it lay in the sun. Dry just like a salt mullet.
Yeah.
Just like a old growed mullet. Yes, sir. Just like that. He's good, too.
That's a mudfish.
That's a mudfish.
Gee whiz. Gee whiz.
My uncle said, man, the Fort Marge used to give him everyone a catch. And, so one day he finally called a man in and told the man, says, come on in and give the fella, the white fella, give him some dinner. And he was eating that. He said, what was that I eat? He said, it was mighty good. He said, you know the mudfish you gave me the other day? He said, yeah. He said, that ain't none of them. He said, yeah, that's some of them. But he took and boiled that mudfish, then took all the bones out of it.
Oh.
Then he took hamburger and pork, you know, beef burger, and then pork, and mixed it together with that mudfish, and put onions and all kind of spices in it. Nothing beat it. And so the man didn't give him another mudfish when he told him how he fixed it.
He been fixing them himself.
That's right. You better go on. I ain't gonna get a chance to do much more out there this evening. You know, it's getting on around there.
Okay, we'll go get the other thing going.
Yes, sir.
Do you need anything in this? Got plenty of gas? No?
Might want to put a little gas in it.
Got one over on 700 and end the visit with John Turner. It was Rick this Saturday at lunch, the 14th of October, 72. Channel went over around 700. The end of visit with John Turner was Rick at lunch this 14th of October, 72. Channel went over around 700. The end of visit with John Turner was Rick this Saturday at lunch, the 14th of October, 72.